Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be beginning with verse 3. I'm going to preach a message to you that I've actually titled, Chosen, Needy, Known, and Loved. Let's pray. Dear God, open up our hearts and minds, and I pray that the power of your Spirit would be here to help me and to help everyone in this room, because our desire is to understand you better and understand your word better and understand our life as we stand before you. Strengthen us, Lord, through the preaching of your word. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's the ultimate gift right there, folks. When Christ came, the world was blessed like nothing ever before. Everything was changed. Everything, wonderfulness is a good way of putting it. Just wonderfulness. And it's not like our wonderfulness is just earthly stuff. It says, we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And you know, there are some things that we get to enjoy in this world, and there's some things that are to come. And I don't know about you, but I do not serve God because I'm like punching a time clock and expecting at the end of the day to have earned some certain merit with the Lord. I do good works and I serve the Lord Jesus Christ because I love him and because that's a great life to live. That's where that one is. But let me tell you the truth. There's plenty of places in the New Testament where we're told that when the resurrection of Christ comes, he is going to reward his people. He says, when you give, do not make a big show of it, but don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And then your giving can be done in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. He says, when you pray, don't go and make a big show of it to impress other people, but go into the inner room and pray to your Father, your heavenly Father, who sees what is done in secret, and he will reward you. And when you fast, don't do it so that you're trying to impress others. Do it in a way that only the Father knows. And it says, your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. We're told to lay up treasures in heaven. And I don't know what it's like, but the Lord says that on that day we will leap for joy. And what a wondrous thing it is, because the longer we serve him, the more we accomplish good works that he planned in advance that we were going to do. You know, it is God's will that these good things that came to your mind that you did, it was God's will that you do those things. And he created you for doing those good things. So the Lord is setting you up for all kinds of reward. Amen. And we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us. Wow. Now I know Christians have debated back and forth on these things, but I'm just telling you right here, as you look at the scripture, it seems pretty clear. Somehow the Lord has chosen you and I. It says, before the creation of the world. And look what he chose us to do. He says he chose us to be holy and to be blameless in his sight. To be holy. To be holy is being marked as belonging to him. To be holy is to be set aside from the sinful things of the world. Set aside for something that is better. Set aside for something that is noble. Set aside because we're not just out there for any use. We are set aside because we belong to him. And because of it, we're special. Chosen to be holy. Chosen to be blameless in Christ. Verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. That was his plan. That is his yearning for us. In accordance with his pleasure and will, and to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, in him we have redemption. And redemption is when you buy something back. If you go and you take something to the pawn shop, they will give you a certain amount of money for it. Now, it's usually not much money. You could have this wonderful TV that you just paid $500 for, and you go to the pawn shop and say, I want to pawn this. And they'll say, we'll give you $50 for it. You'd be like, what? It's worth more than $50. And the pawn guy says, doesn't matter. That's all I'm going to give you. So you give it to him, and he puts it in the back room, but it's got your name on it. Now, you have a certain amount of time to come and buy it back. You pay him back. And if you pay him back, then you get to have your TV back. But if you don't pay him back, he gets to keep your TV, and he'll probably sell it for $400. Goodbye, TV. To go back and get your TV back, that is to pay the redemption to get your TV back. You're paying the price. And there is a very real sense in which what Adam and Eve did in the garden, they sold us down the street. They introduced sin into the human race. They introduced death to the human race by what they did. And you know, we all have sin's effects in us, in a part of us. We're all born with a bent to sinning. And we all are in need of salvation that only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given us redemption. His blood pays for our sin debt. Our blood, his blood washes us clean. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Forgiveness of sins. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Amen. Now, I read all this, and I'm like, wow, this feels good. And the whole idea that he chose us, and he predestined us, and he had plans for us, it's exciting. It's exciting when I think about my new little granddaughter. I mean, she's just a couple days old, but you know, God's got a plan for her life. He's got a plan with her. He's got things she's going to accomplish. He loves her. She hasn't even spoken a word yet, but he already loves her. Well, here's what I've dealt with this week. You might want to keep your thumb in that passage, but let's look at a different one. Turn with me to the Psalms, Psalm 139. Because if you want to understand Ephesians 1, you got to hold it together with Psalm 39. Beginning with verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. One thing I see at our school is different facets of our students. There's some students that on some days they have such good hearts and they're so earnest to do good. I can think of some I've sat down with that, oh, they're great. And I love them so much. And this week I had one in particular. And he didn't know that I knew, but he was trying to pull a fast one on me. And he didn't know that, just as a little illustration, and it's so far away you can't even see who it is, I decided to take his picture. So he's sitting there taking a test. And conveniently, in the chair that's right next to him, that was all pushed in, just a chair just next to him, you see a student, and in the chair that's sitting next to him, There's the study guide. So all he needed to do is kind of move the chair a little bit or lean himself back, and he could see all the answers. And so I saw what was going on from before I gave him the test. And I just decided that I was going to sit right up front. While he took his test, there wasn't really any opportunity to sit and lean back. And I was thinking about him, and I was thinking about Ephesians 1, and I was thinking about Psalm 139. Let's just take some of our kids in our youth group. By 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night, after they have heard a sermon, had a prayer time, worshiped God, these kids are at a great place on Wednesday night at about 8 o'clock at night. Friday night at 10 o'clock can sometimes be different. Now, I know that for a lot of those kids, they would really like if they could pick the time when the Lord is going to return and they are going to be judged. Please come Wednesday night about 8 o'clock. Please do not show up Friday night at 10 o'clock. But what's the truth? It's not like God is stupid. You know, a student can easily pull the wool over my eyes because I see them in school and I don't know what they're like when they're out of school. I just assume that they're all sort of nice. They could be living a double life. But with God, it isn't like that. He knows the whole story. He knows the whole story about all of us. And I've been a pastor long enough, and I have had the privilege of pastoring people in all different ages and all different places in life. And I'll tell you what, we all have issues. Now, if you knew the issues of the person sitting next to you, you'd probably be like, ugh, and you might move over a little bit. But if they knew your issues, they might move over a little bit themselves. We all have areas of weakness. And you know, you'd be shocked if you knew what your neighbor deals with. You might not understand some of them. You may go, oh, that's just foolish. I was thinking about this one day, and I had a lady want to have a private conversation with me. She came in my office and closed the door. And her husband were very well-off people. They're very successful in business, had a lot of things. They are well-regarded in one of our churches in town, highly esteemed. And she told me, she goes, no one would ever guess what I struggle with. And I go, what do you struggle with? She goes, stealing. I'm like, you live in the most awesome house, and you drive awesome vehicles, and you wear awesome clothes. She goes, yeah, I know. She goes, but when I go into a store, my mind automatically starts thinking about how I could take things and not get caught. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And she goes, this is something that I have to deal with. I have to discipline myself not to do that, because can you imagine how much shame I would cause my parents and my family, and my children, if I did this and I acted on this stuff? And I'm like, I would never believe that. And she goes, that's why I told you. Because I know I could trust you. And it just goes to show, you don't know what people are going through. And let me just slightly take it one step further. All of us, to one degree or another, have a sexual side to us.
And if there is a part of people's lives that very easily gets out of whack, it's the sexual side of us. I wish I could say that Christian people have that part of their life totally under control. Have Jesus in your heart and you're not going to have any issues in that department at all. But that's just not how it works. I mean, it's a powerful force. It's a powerful issue in life. And it's people deal with all kinds of ways of trying to get us to take what God intended for good and to pervert it and twist it in different ways and to cause us shame. Shame and embarrassment. So let me pull back. How on earth does Psalm 139 and Ephesians 1 go together? If God really knows what's going on with us, how can it say that He has chosen us and He has plans for us and He loves us and cares for us? And to wrestle with that is to really understand God. Because that's just how it is. His grace for us is a real grace. A grace that knows who we are and knows what we struggle and knows the times when we are at our best and also knows and loves us in those times when we are struggling and we stumble. Back to Psalm 139. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. And I don't know about you, but there are some words that get on my tongue that after they come out of my mouth, I go, wow, I wish I wouldn't have said that. You hem me in behind and before, and you've laid your hand upon me. Hem me in. Have you ever felt like sometimes the Lord is just pushing you one way or pushing you another way? He knows what you need. He knows what you need. Have you ever had intentions of going and doing something, and right before you went to do it, all of a sudden you got a phone call and it was from somebody, and it was almost like God had inspired that person to call you at that time? Or maybe you bumped into somebody that caused you to make a change. He hems us in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? The answer is nowhere. Where can I flee from your presence? The answer again, nowhere. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And you may think, I'm going to run as far as I can, and God is going to eventually forget about me. And I can tell you, if you run far, you are probably going to have a lot of people that you know who will forget about you, but the Lord will not. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. You could have turned your back on the Lord. And you know what? He's not going to turn his back. He's going to work. He's going to be trying to turn you around because he loves you. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. For the night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you. You guys ever hear the testimony of Alice Cooper? I grew up listening to Alice Cooper because I thought it was really bad to listen to him. I felt rebellious. Somehow the Lord Jesus Christ got a hold of his life. How could somebody raised in a Christian home get so far away and get doing the things that he was doing? Wouldn't you think that God would be so sick of all that he had done that he would be just done with him? But the rest of the story is God found him, that he reached his hand and took him out of the miry clay. And as the song said, set his feet on the rock to stay. Verse 12, even the darkness is not dark to you. Night will shine like day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being.
You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. You know, when I think about, I'll speak personally, when I just feel how blessed I am right this second, I have a wonderful new granddaughter. I have a wonderful wife that loves me and is beautiful, and she's a great cook, and I love being with her, and I'm so happy to have her as my wife. I get to go to a wonderful church with dear friends and people that I love. I'm healthy. I live in the most beautiful state in the Union. I think so. I'm going to get to be a part of a wedding of two people that I dearly love. I'll tell you what, I sit back and I say, God, I'm not all that, and you know I'm not. I've been forgiven of a lot, and it's only by his grace that I'm able to stand before you as a godly man. His grace helps me continue. I just feel overwhelmed with gratitude. I don't feel like, oh, well, God's paying me back for being such a great guy. I really think about Psalm 139. It's like, I'm really not that great of a guy. I feel like I'm a God-made guy, which comforts me because I know that if I live another 20, 30 years, I pray I do, that God's going to continue helping me. See, this Christian life isn't like he saves us and then just pats us on the butt and says, don't screw up. No, it's a journey where he walks with us and helps us. And we have our weaknesses. And he knows we have our weaknesses. It's not like when we confess it to him, we're telling him something that he doesn't know already. He knows it. And he can help us through it. In some cases, it's the very things that we struggle with in the areas where we struggle that as he helps us, he creates and makes us into a person that can help other people that have struggled in that way. His grace is just like that. So verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Years ago, we used to sing a hymn in church, and it was go, why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? You know, the whole song is just pondering that question. It's like, why, oh why? How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. Let's get down to the end of it. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We are chosen, but we are needy. We need him. We're not chosen because we're better than other people. We're just people. But by his grace, he can help us in our weakness. He won't give up. We're known by him. He knows all about Friday nights at 10 o'clock. He knows all about Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. He already knows. And he loves us. All right, last illustration, then I'm going to close this sermon. I have only seen my granddaughter open her eyes once. It's just a little blink, and you know, the eyes aren't even really functioning quite yet. I can't even necessarily tell you what color they are. and she's about as big as my sneaker. I'll tell you what, I love that little girl to pieces. I love her so much just thinking about her. I feel like my heart's going to explode with happiness and joy. Now, has she like done something really nice? Is that the reason I love her? No, I just love her because I love her. I love her because she's my granddaughter. I'm excited. I know that her mother's going to turn her into a little diva, and I know that grandpa's going to offset that and turn her into a tomboy. I'm going to try. Got plans for her. And in sort of a similar way, I mean, it's not like she has to do anything to get me to love her. I already do. And I don't know what the future's going to hold for her. I mean, maybe she's going to be ideal in every single way. I doubt it. I think she's going to be like us. She's going to have her areas where she struggles. But she's always going to be special because she's mine. Think about the Galloways. I mean, your grandchildren, no matter what they do in life, they will always be precious to you because they're yours. So we are chosen, we're needy, and we're known, and we're loved. Let me pray for you. Dear God, so overwhelming, a lot to take in. I just pray that as we leave this place, that we would leave feeling loved. Feeling like the problems that we deal with in life, you're going to help us with. That things are going to be okay because you're not going to give up. Thank you, God. Amen.